This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we know that Minneapolis and St. Paul have mask mandates beginning this evening. Will there be a vaccine and or testing mandate? Blois Olson joins us now with Morning Take. Blois, you've got some news for us. Possibly a vaccine mandate in both states, cities?
Yeah, Minneapolis and St. Paul, the mayors, Jacob Frey and Melvin Carter, we've learned, are working together to possibly have a vaccine mandate in place in the coming weeks. It could be announced as soon as Friday. One of the things that they're trying to figure out is that the vaccine mandate is different for city employees in each city, and they want to make it consistent and aligned in both cases. So, for instance, in St. Paul, it's mandated that city employees get the vaccine, and then they can ask for a waiver. In Minneapolis, city employees are required to show a negative test when they come to work, but if they have the vaccine, then they don't have to show a negative test. It's a slight nuance, but in order to have the rules as consistent as possible for bars, restaurants, gyms, those kinds of places, that's the idea. Other cities, New York, Los Angeles, many others have had this in place, especially for restaurants and clubs. And we know that some restaurants in Minneapolis, St. Paul, some clubs, some shows have already implemented these voluntarily. So this wouldn't, you know, necessarily change everybody's operation, but it would give patrons one more reason to not necessarily go to those two cities when we know that both cities have been challenged by a lack of downtown workers and things like that. So it is under serious consideration. I learned last night and could be announced as soon as Friday.
Okay, so just kind of so I'm clear on this, if I wanted to go to a restaurant, if this were to happen, if I wanted to go to a restaurant in St. Paul or Minneapolis, I would need to bring my vaccine card or a digital copy of it before I could eat at a restaurant. Is that basically what they're considering?
That is the way. Yep, that is the way it was explained to me. And even a photo on your phone of your vaccine card would qualify. So they don't want it to be too onerous. I think they've learned from some other cities. But the mayors feel very strongly that in order to keep workers safe, in order to keep commerce going, that this may be one of the steps we need to take.
And would it only be restaurants?
That's not clear yet, but my guess is that it would apply to the same businesses that the mask mandate applies to, which would create big issues for arenas, large crowds, because if you've been to a couple events, checking in right now is already a challenge. And so if you add another layer, they'd probably have to build it into their system before you got there or something like that. But yes, the idea is restaurants and bars are the primary target, but I think other businesses would be impacted by this vaccine mandate.
Well, you wonder too, how would they, and you talk about how long it could take to get into places, but so many places don't have enough people working. So who's the one that's actually checking all these things and processing it all as you come into a business?
That is the major issue, is that staffing is already tight with these businesses. But these are the same businesses that, you know, I know several salons and restaurants that went to a mask mandate for their employees and their patrons earlier this week, kind of proactively. But there's a difference kind of from an attitude standpoint of going to it voluntarily and then worrying that if you aren't in compliance, that the city may fine you or, you know, have other issues. So employee shortages are going to be an issue. This is definitely going to be a bottleneck and a tension point. And, you know, we're so polarized over this pandemic that, you know, people are going to use it as another chance to, you know, pick sides on one side or the other based on politics of the pandemic rather than the practicality for these business operators.
So when you talk about the mask mandates coming into effect in Minneapolis and St. Paul this evening at 5, can you clarify for me? I'm still reading into this. The difference between the Minneapolis mask mandate and the St. Paul one. So St. Paul says all licensed businesses and city-controlled facilities will require masks. So that's any business. Could be just
a license. Yeah. Okay. So think of salons. Think of bars, restaurants. Think of gyms. Last night I was trying to get some clarification out of Minneapolis that it would be gyms. It would be restaurants. It would be kind of the same group of people. However, this is the way they think of it. The Skyway system, you know, public areas, you know, the Vikings game is one of those. You know, the Vikings are probably, you know, not licensed, but there's a liquor license at the, you know, U.S. Bank Stadium. So that probably is how they use it to apply it. And as one person said, you know, the way the Vikings have been playing, wearing a mask, the Vikings game might be good because you don't necessarily even want your friends to know you're there this weekend. So there you go.
Well, and I also saw on Twitter, you won't hear the boos as much. They'll be muffled.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So right. There's that too. Okay. President Biden is speaking at, we've got a minute and a half with you, Blois. President Biden is speaking at 8 a.m. our time this morning. We're going to carry it live here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Tell me, it sounds like he's going to focus his remarks on what he sees as a sweeping attack on American democracy. Yet I know Senator Chuck Schumer was hoping to tie in January 6th with voting rights legislation. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect between what the president wants to do and what Senate Democrats really want to do as far as tying January 6th with voting rights legislation.
Well, they want to pass that voting rights legislation, so they're going to try to do that. Biden's, I think, trying to kind of unite the country or remind the country where we were a year ago. But, you know, either way, the news and Biden talking, I think, will be kind of the theme of the day. And if Senate Democrats are able to get something done on voting rights, then that would be the secondary news of the day is kind of the way I see it.
Real quickly, where were you a year ago and as you were taking this all in?
And what I was sitting in the same, yeah, I was sitting in the same chair I'm sitting in right now working with TV on, and I have a lot of screens in my office. But I think my most notable thing was just the feeling that I had, and then my 18-year-old, you know, saying, oh, it kind of looks like a video game. And I just had the sober view of, like, this is the next 9/11 day in our history. It's not a video game. And I think the gravity of the situation is something that, you know, for younger people just didn't even sink in until after the fact.
All right. Blois Olson, where can we find the Morning Take?
Just sign up at fluence-newsletters.com or search Facebook or Twitter. Okay. We made it through a week, Vanina. Only 51 more to go. 4 days a week, me and you.
It's a highlight of the morning for me. Thank you, Blois. Appreciate it.
See you, Vanina.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.